Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. In our modern era, choice is something that we take for granted, and that can be, nowadays, somewhat overwhelming. I was looking for something the other day online and on Amazon, and after an hour of perusing the different brands with the different reviews, I still hadn't come to a full decision on what to order. And this is just one simple product, like a blender. But this for us, we could do this at Walmart in front of the soap aisle, in front of the hair care aisle. There are so many choices on a day-to-day level that we have to make, and this is a fairly new situation for us in a country that is market-driven, capitalist, where people put out product for us to look at and businesses succeed and fail, but there's all the product and the choices we have to make. In earlier times, we know there was far less to choose from because there was far less product and life was more about survival than it was about luxuries. Luxuries such as blenders. Anyways, choice is so fundamental to our existence that it's hard to imagine a time where there was less choice. And it's hard for us to take our gift of choice as seriously because we swap out products as if they don't matter. But at the core of both the fall and the core of today's gospel passage and then the Annunciation is this notion of choosing. One thing that we have to say that's unique in Orthodox theology, or at least it seems unique compared to other confessions, is that we believe that God gives us total freedom to choose. Total freedom. It's one of those inviolable laws. He doesn't violate our will. He doesn't make us do anything. If you can think of the stories where God makes people do things, I'm not saying that God doesn't occasionally coerce us, as someone might perceive with the prophet Jonah. I'm not saying that he doesn't give us examples that would encourage us, such as to choose life or choose death. But one of the things that our God does, the God that we believe in, the one that we teach, is that he never actually violates our free will. That it is totally up to us to either accept or reject things. It is so much our free choice that he even lets his creatures, Adam and Eve, choose to break his commandments. And we know the result of that breaking of those commandments was the fall. But he wanted them to have that faculty of freedom and choice so much that he did nothing except for give them a command. He didn't try to stop them. He didn't try to beg them. Eve looked and she chose. She gave it to her husband. They fell. She chose to listen to the serpent. She chose to break the commandment. In our daily lives, we have a million choices to make, trying to pull us either way. And in our society, we are rather coercive. We have, I guess, a psyop against us, the constant entertainment and the constant advertisement and the constant news, which form the way we perceive the world and begin to, for some people, tie them into certain ideas and certain choices where they can't see so many options. Actually, this is one of the things about we know that's demonic. We know something's demonic when we don't feel like we have any choice. Not with all decisions, but in general, in our life of sin and with the struggle we have spiritually, If we feel painted into a corner, it's often because we've been, that the devil has come and clouded our mind to only see certain options. In today's feast day, which is the dedicated to the Annunciation of Mary, when the Archangel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her that she'll be with child, Mary is given a choice. And what we celebrate is ultimately that she chooses yes. That she says yes, be it according to thy word. Now, if we think about the odd circumstances, we have Mary having an archangel come to her, and we can think about all the stigma around being pregnant, all the stigma around being pregnant and not being married at such a young age of 13 or 14. There's the suffering of pregnancy. The way we think about it in our modern day and age, and I'm sure it was also thought of then, was there's the financial suffering. There is the career suffering. In other words, when I have a baby, my life is no longer about me. It's about what I do to support my child. And in that society, of course, for most women, that meant being locked in the maternal household. But there's a certain amount of suffering and grace and goodness that comes from that. But as a young girl, this is a choice that she would have to choose. When she hears the Archangel Gabriel, she could say, no, I don't want this suffering. I don't want pregnancy when I'm not married. I don't want the stigma that comes along with that. I don't believe you. I mean, that's a possibility. All of these things are possibilities with the Virgin Mary, and what we hear is that instead of those, a very simple agreement to do the will of God, to accept the will of God. And she is an example for us who so frequently choose our own wills over the will of God. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, we can either go to hell saying, my will be done, or go to heaven saying, thy will be done. I think it was him. That's an important point for us to consider in each aspect of our life. That we're not meant to be merely grounded in what we want to do and how we want things to be. But that in all things that we are to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And to be looking for the voice of God to direct us in any way that He so chooses. And that sometimes, and oftentimes even, He can choose ways that we wouldn't choose, that we wouldn't consider to be palatable for our career or for our life or for whatever it is that we hold dear. That ultimately God has a calling, a purpose, a design for our lives, and that we're there to receive that. And part of our ascetic training, as I've mentioned in other sermons during Lent, is to train ourselves to not choose ourselves. So that when we hear that still small voice, we can be like Mary and say, be it to me according to your word. God will not force us to be saved. And this should be a little scary for some of us. I have heard people say, oh, how I wish God would take this sin from me. He doesn't do that. He very rarely takes away sin from us. What He does is He allows us to make day-to-day changes and day-to-day choices, hopefully guided by His grace, to move away from the sin. You see, if He simply took everything that was bad away from us and removed the choice, we wouldn't be being trained as soldiers in Christ's army. We wouldn't be using our own will. And if He took everything away from us, then we would have no glory. We wouldn't be partaking in any sort of synergy with God. If we could blame him for our success in that he made it very easy, then we could also blame him in our failures and say that he simply made it hard and didn't change our hearts. But this isn't, again, the way we conceive of God. We conceive of him, again, of entirely allowing us to exercise our free wills, and that it is up to us, out of our love of Christ, to be awake, to be pursuing, and to be looking for God to speak to us. And even when he's not speaking to us, to make choices that are in line with his gospel commandments. Those things which we know not to be sinful, and those things that we know that build up the Spirit rather than tear it down. So as we continue on with this feast day and emulation of Mary in our lives, and desiring to always choose the good thing, hopefully desiring out of the love of Christ to say, "Thy will be done and not my will be done," may our Lord give us strength to see how important choices are, to see the choices that we make every day clearly, so that again, that we can choose his will over our will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.